Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are working in me. Say, Lord, you are working in me. Your word is working in me. I'm an expression of your will. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm an expression of your will. I'm an expression of your will. I'm an expression of your will. Now let's just do our declaration we normally do as we start to study. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Once again, that understanding will come to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will give you light and direction.
Amen.
He will heal you in every area.
Amen.
And he will make you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Okay, so effective prayer, we've been looking at it. Can we just open our Bibles? I want us to read something. And this we are going to use to pray again. And don't forget, what we do in our school of prayer is to learn the habit of praying. Let's open to the book of Luke. I want us to read something from that book of Luke, just to explain the principle to us again. And I'm going to share something that Miles Monroe taught some time ago. I heard him. If you ever listened to his series on, was it Purpose Now or Potential? I think it's Purpose. And I heard him talk on the issue of purpose. There's the principle he shared. Let's just read this one first of all, and then I will explain it. The book of Luke chapter 24. This was after the Lord Jesus rose up from the dead. And some people met him on the way, but they did not know who it was. Verse 13, and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which are taking place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, Cleopas, answered, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened in these days? And then he asked them, what things? And they told him about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed. Verse 20, the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death, had him crucified. Verse 21 says, but we're hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. How did they do that? When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now verse 24. For some of them who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. Now where I was reading all of this is to get to is verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Now, verse 27, please. Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, notice this. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, there were things concerning him in all the scriptures. And that's what I wanted us to read. That's verse 27. That there were things about his life described in the scriptures. You can look up from the Bible now. And I want to say something to you, that there are things concerning your own life to describe in the scriptures. That is a matter of fact. There is nothing about your life that has not been described in the scriptures. I want us to understand it. If you read your Bible, one of the prayers you must pray, okay? Jesus prayed like this: give us this day our daily bread. That prayer, you can take it literally, but I want you to take it from the spiritual perspective, in which the daily bread is not food. The daily bread is a word you need for that season. Are you getting my point? The daily bread is not food, but the word you need for a season. Man shall not live by bread alone. So I don't believe the emphasis of Jesus will have been on bread. He said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God doth man live. That is, each day you must pray, what is a word that will carry me through this season? There is a word. That's the way it goes. There is a word that carries you through a particular season in life. And that word, you must ask for it. You must ask for it. So when you are praying, you want to start something in life, okay, you can pray for all kinds of things, but ask the Lord, give me this for this season. Because I've explained here before that when you talk about day, it refers to each season of life. And each day is not necessarily 24 hours. A student who is about to start a subject, I mean a course in school, and they tell me, we are giving you admission to study engineering for 5 years. The next 5 years is one day. Are you getting my point here? Is one day. That's one day. Okay? You're getting married today. You are stepping into a new day. You understand? There's a new day. You're delivering a child today. That's another day. You're traveling abroad for a course. That's a day. You may be gone for 2 years, but that's a day. Everything has a, in that each season is referred to also as a day. For example, you hear that this is the day that the Lord has made, and will rejoice and be glad. It wasn't talking about a 24-hour period, all right? This day have I begotten thee. It was talking about a new day of resurrection there. So that's how it is. The day is not always a 24-hour period. The day refers to a new season, a particular period that we are going through in life. And each one must have his bread. Each one must have his word. There is a word that carries you through each season of life. It's very important. So when you want to start, your prayer must be, Lord, give us this day. Give me this day the bread I need for this season. Yeah, are you getting my point? It's crucial. You see where I'm going in a moment. I thought I was going to say something about Miles Morrow. Remember that? Okay, Miles Morrow said something. He was talking about some principles. No, just escaping. I didn't think about it before I stepped up here. It was when I got here. I just remembered it. And I said to work with what I'm about to say. Now, Miles Morrow said something that was talking about the principles of creation. I can't remember exactly what message. I think it has to do, it's something with purpose. Was it potential? No, I didn't listen to him on potential. I listened to him a lot on purpose. I think it's purpose. Yes. Now, remembering somebody said, yes, purpose. Yeah, do you know what I want to say? Yeah, agree. The Lord is good. I think it's purpose. Anyway, it leads us some principles, all right, of life. Now, one of the principles he shared is that, of course, he talked about everything is made from something, everything has a purpose, everything. We now say something, this is the only one I'm trying to remember now, or that I want to use to explain my teaching for this evening. He said everything must remain in contact with where it was made from in order for it to live. That the plants are made from the earth. Let the earth bring forth vegetation. So there is no plant that can live that is separated from the earth. Once you take the plant from the earth, it starts to die. That's the way it is. Why? It was made from the earth. It now says that God also made man from the clay. And there are two parts to man, all right? But the body of man, not just man, now all animals, is made from the earth also. So the man has to remain in contact with the earth to remain alive. What does that mean? That food is the earth. So you eat. That's sustaining yourself by where you came from. Your body came from the earth. So it must remain in contact with the earth. So you must continue to take something from the earth in order for you to live. That if you don't do that, of course, we don't have. In fact, your body will tell you, speak English to you in a few hours. If you say, I've not felt the earth today, are you getting my point? You must eat something. We know that. So that's the principle of creation Miles Morrow was explaining. Now, he now said that because the spirit of man, the real man, was made from God, he has to remain in contact with God in order for it to live. The moment you cut off that connection, the man starts to die also. That's it. It's not just the body now. The body, yes, needs to remain in contact with the earth in order for it to live, to continue to survive. But the spirit man must remain in contact with where it came from, because God breathed into the man the breath of life, and the man became a living soul, which means that the critical part of man came from the breath of God. So if you cut off that thing, that connection, he also dies. So man cannot exist without those two connections. One, from the earth. Two, the breath of God. Now, bear that in mind. Very important. You see what I'm saying in a moment. So when God, of course, anytime God wants to bring something to the earth, it's a word he speaks. Okay? And what am I bringing from there today? That's why I brought this one up. You will find out that every single time that God brings something from the word, with his word, that thing must remain in contact with his word for it to continue to exist. Is that so? Yes, it's in scripture like that. He sustains all things. How? By the word of his power. Without the constant release of the word of his power, the thing will disintegrate. Why? It's made by the word. Now please bear that principle in mind. So, wherever you came out from, you must remain in contact with. Now, when God wanted to bring you and me, all right, to this earth, the same thing he did. He spoke a word. Now, concerning Jesus, who we are like, all right? We are in the image of Christ. That's what God is making us to be. That's what he has made us to be. We are the image of Christ. Now, let's look at this, the Lord Jesus again. We read from this book of Luke chapter 24 here. In that verse 27, we saw that everything, okay, concerning the life of Jesus is explained in the scriptures. The Bible says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. There's somewhere else he says that when they were speaking, he said, these things that you have observed were the words that I spoke to you before now. That is, everything you are seeing now were once spoken as words. Please, are you following what I'm saying here? Talk about the life of the Lord Jesus. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus alone for a moment. His life was first spoken as words. You know, today, I woke up, I took my Bible, I was reading. I caught something. Then I fell asleep thinking about the thing. Very interesting. I just saw a reference in the book of Hebrews where he said that to which one of the angels did the Lord ever say? So I felt like reading that portion. And I went to Psalm 97. And if you listen, were it not that I read that Hebrews chapter 1 first, I would not have realized that Psalm 97 was talking about the Lord Jesus. He was just talking about worship the Lord, everybody worship all ye gods, talking about that. What were in the book of Hebrews? He said, to which of the angels did he ever say? That is, the whole of Psalm 97 was written concerning the Lord Jesus. Let's just look at it. You see, now, we're not teaching on it at all. I got some people looking at me like, what are you talking about? So, I want to show you what is there. Anywhere you see the Lord here, huh? Jesus is talking about. So the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. So let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Zion have rejoiced because of your judgments, O Lord. For you are the Lord Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let me just stop here. You know, you can read the rest of it later, okay? We're talking about the Son, and it was reading from Psalm 97. I don't know what I'm going to say here. You see, there is nothing. Listen, that's why Jesus, when he wanted to describe himself, he went to the scriptures and began to show them every single thing that he saw that confused them. He showed them in the Bible. What we call the Old Covenant, Old Testament now, the Law and the Prophets. Every single thing that confused those people, that some people said, look at it, we thought he would be the Messiah, now he's being killed. He showed it to them. Some people went to the grave and did not see him. He showed it to them. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that every single bit of his life was described in the scriptures. You know, on Saturdays we are teaching about the way, the truth, and the life, and we're looking at the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I mentioned the last time that, which was why I did it, I said, read the book of Hebrews. A lot was said about him. I was reading from that I just connected with this particular psalm. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You see that the life of Jesus was described in the scriptures, and I want you to understand, your own life too, which is derived from his own, has been described in this word. Are you getting my point here? Now, back to Miles Monroe, because you wonder what I'm talking about. Miles Monroe now said, and we have seen it's established on scriptural principles, in order for you to live, you must be connected and be fed constantly with the word that described your life. Am I saying things that are too deep? Everybody looking lost, as if I'm teaching advanced physics in primary school. You know, this kind of one that they are looking at, you say, go on, shave, lesson is 40 minutes. It's straightforward, now, is it not? What I'm saying is that we are taking Jesus as our example. We are fashioned in his image, okay? Everything about his life is written in the Bible. In the, well, look, using this one, the law and the prophets. And I'm saying your life, my life, exactly the same way, is described in scripture. That is a matter of fact. Now, we now use the principle that Miles Monroe, you know, explained to us, that whatever you are made out of, now, you are made by the word. Every time God wants to do something, the beginning is always what? The beginning is always what? No, I want a scripture. The word, thank you. In the beginning, what is the principle? There's the word. That's how it starts. God wants to start something, the beginning is always what? The word. Nothing starts. He said there's not anything that was made that was not made by the word. In the beginning, there is always the word. There is never anything except there is the word. So before you came into existence, there was a word. I hope you're getting my point here. There is always a word. Without a word, there is no existence. Without a word, there is no creation. Without a word, there is nobody that lives. Because the principle is that in the beginning, there must be a word. That's the way it works. So your life, my life, how is it? There is a word. Concerning the life of the Lord Jesus, we are all parts of his body. Okay? Concerning him, we saw him take the scriptures and read through them to show people everything concerning his own life. And Miles Monroe now said, that's what we're talking about, that in the beginning of your life, there was the word of God. For you to exist, you must remain in contact with the thing that brought you into existence. Otherwise, you dissolve. Using Miles Monroe's words, he said, in order for you to live. And we have seen that the word live is not just to breathe. Okay? For example, okay, let's use marriage as an example. I get married. That marriage can live or it can die. It's not just about divorce now. To live means for it to breathe, for it to function, for it to achieve the reason why it was enacted. That's what it means to live. So he said, the just shall live by faith. You know, the wrong way we used to think about it those days is that, yes, as a Christian, I'm living by faith, all right? So, do you have money? No, I don't have, but I'm living by faith. I just, live by faith. That is, everything I'm doing is doing by faith. No. To do that is called walking by faith. There's a difference between walking by faith and living by faith. When I walk by faith, life is injected into me. So you say, I'm alive by faith. So the just shall be alive by faith. That's why I titled that book, By Faith, Acquire Life. So when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, what it means is that he was supposed to die. But why did he not die? Because of faith. Faith allowed him to remain alive instead of dying. So when we use the word live in scripture, therefore, what we are saying is that the thing is functioning. The thing is working. What God created it to do, it is doing it. So Miles Monroe said, in order for you to achieve this life, you must be connected with what made you. So please, I hope you are getting my point here. So what am I trying to say? And no, I've said this again and again, but we can't say these things enough. We'll continue to say it. There is nothing about your life and my life that has not been described by the word of God. There is nothing. In the beginning was the word. Before you came into existence, there was the word. Now, what Maxwell is now saying is this. If Assuming I'm, let's just take as an example. I'm that marriage thing is an example. If the marriage is now not working, it's not living, it's as if it is dying. He said the reason is because of what? Disconnection with the word that created it. It is not that this man has not learned the things that make a woman happy. It is not as if the man has not learned how to, you know, he has not learned his wife's love language. Now, believe me, I believe in learning your wife's love language. It makes your life easier. Are you getting my point? But that is not the foundation of it. He said if it is dying, there's been a disconnection between where what began it and the people that are operating it now. If there's no disconnection, life will have constantly flowed into it. So if it is not living, you are getting it now? There's this disconnection. So he said, in order for it to live, there must be a connection, a constant connection with what started it. You know, we were looking at the picture in my house again this morning, my wife and I, and she was just shaking her head. And Prime Minister or President of Luxembourg, a man, went with his husband for this last meeting that our president went for, with Donald Trump, was the oldest people. Is it G7? Okay, not the other people came too. I thought they said the G7. Anyway, everybody joined the G7. Anyway, this guy is the head of Luxembourg, and he came with his husband. Yes, you hear what I said? He came with one guy like this. They got married in 2013 or 2003, some years ago. And this was a spouse that followed the head of state for an international meet. When I saw the picture, I said, I remembered in my secondary school when our BK teacher was teaching us about Sodom and Gomorrah. I did not think I would see it in my lifetime. Honestly, I didn't know it was possible. The Bible says their glory is their shame. That is, they are proud of what they should be ashamed of. You now say that he come out of the closet. Bring your madness out of the closet. Let's all know you are crazy. Are you getting my point? And one funny head of state of the most powerful country in the world actually sent a tweet to congratulate a 62-year-old man who said he's now identifying as a woman. All right? And say it takes courage to do what you did. That was why God gave them Donald Trump. And Donald Trump said, I will undo all the rubbish that you people did. And Sadhu Salvaraj said, God prepared him for the post. So any rubbish you see Donald Trump do is the will of God. Trust me. God sent him to go and embarrass people. That by the time he's done, all their heads go correct. That Donald Trump is a sign of God's mercy for that country. Now let's not go there. Let me sit with the Luxembourg Prime Minister who showed up with his husband. Children are getting confused. They're sad. The grammar is not correct. It has to be her husband. I don't blame you. You know, children are getting confused now. Why did the president or prime minister of Luxembourg travel with his husband? It is because when men disconnect from the flow of life that comes from God, their common sense vanishes. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. They continue to eat the produce of the earth. Flesh takes over. The spirit that keeps them in check doesn't work anymore. You cannot disconnect from God's word and you remain sane. It's not possible. Oh, you can't. That's why I went to all of that. So anytime society disconnects from the word of God, what happens? That they begin to decay. They begin to decay. Paulson said that some of these things, those sexual deviancy you see, that they are not the things that's annoying God. He said, there are signs that God is angry already. And he was quoting from Romans chapter 1. That therefore, because they were not thankful, God took them and gave them over to depravity. So that's a judgment. That's stage 1. Worse things are coming. That now begins to amplify. You know, there's something because the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Then the iniquity starts packing up. But let's sit on our message. Our message is that's why we need to be connected constantly. The word that gave you life. Miles Monroe said, where your life began from, you must be constantly fed from there. Are you getting my point? That is, if God says to you, let there be light, and you came into existence, so your name is light, then every day you must go back and hear that word again. light be. You go back and hear the word, light be. Because they said that's what God said literally. He said, light be. And then there was light. Now, anytime light disconnects from hearing the word, light be, it turns to darkness. The functioning of the word of God is a continuous thing. It's not a once it is done thing. No. It's a continuous flow. It's like current. It must continually flow. If it does not, the thing that was begun with the word collapses. That's how the word works. It starts something, then it has to be sustained. Read that Hebrews chapter 1. Everything was created by him, then but now, everything has to be sustained. The same way it was created. The same way it was created. He upholds all things by the word of his power. You know, for a long time, I used to wonder, they say Jesus prayed all night. What was he praying about? It's not these days I'm getting the understanding. It was in the recent years. Those are the things. Sometimes he just speaks a word. Why am I going to succeed in life? It's not because I know how to work. It is because the word said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. That's the word that began you and me. Do you understand? So for us to succeed, for us to live, we must remain connected with that word. Not like I've heard it before. That's like God didn't give us new Bible every day. No. It's the same one. He said, just continue feeding on the same thing. So in the morning, take it. It's as if you're hearing it for the first time. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion. You take the scripture. You read it out to yourself. Be fruitful. What you're doing is that you are sustaining yourself with the thing that began you. You see what I was trying to explain in the beginning? That's what I was trying to explain. That so from scripture, you find what the Lord Jesus did was to show them these were the things that, or these are the things that are my life. These are the scriptures that brought me into existence. These are the scriptures that sustained me. These are the scriptures that created the things that I was. I am the Word. So when they were wondering what happened to his life, he showed them there. This was what happened. Now, I've tried to bring out something here. It is possible for the Word to say something, then we disconnect from it. Having disconnected from it, you know what happens? We start experiencing the opposite of what the word said. Why? Disconnection. The thing begins to die. It begins to die. It begins to die. It begins to die. From the day they eat of that fruit, they disconnect, you understand? And then they start dying. Dying. You know, the literal Hebrew says, dying you shall die. That is, the dying process commences. So if I discover dying process in my life, I instantly know that what? There's been what? A disconnection. That's why all of us feel this dying thing in the flesh every day. What I mean by the dying thing? You're tired. You're thirsty. They say, run. Oh boy, I can't get up. Then your friend says, you have disconnected from the earth. Do you follow my point? Then he goes to buy you a snack. Say, eat this. That is earth again. You take the earth from which you were, your body was made. You eat it. And then after a while, you dissolve the earth into your system. You are rejuvenated. That's a death process that you have turned around by reconnecting with the earth. We call it eating. In the same manner, all right? Sometimes in life, things are not working the way they are supposed to work. What is prayer? Prayer is like, go and take, you know, I said prayer is not desire. You know, we've been saying it for some time. Prayer is not desire. It's not desire. Prayer is that the word that made me have disconnected. That's what prayer is. So I go back to the word and say, oh yeah, time for reconnection. And that's why, listen, you can't be a Christian without being a Bible reader. There is no other way. I keep on saying that we have this Roman road. You know I talk about Roman road? We talked about it some time ago. God gives something for each season to allow us to do what we are supposed to do. God made, so that Paul and Co could advance the gospel. He made the Romans conquer everywhere, gave them technology to build paved roads so they could travel great distances in a short while. These days, we have devices. 64 gig memory card now. It's not a big deal anymore. Remember the first day I bought a flash drive, generally from downstairs, Multicom here. 15,000 naira for 512 megabytes. 15,000 naira when 15,000 naira was three times what it is today. Like today, Natalia said, you see me with a flash. So how much? I said 40K. So how many? I said it's half a gig. 512 megabyte. A flash drive. And that kind of, you know, when boys used to wear their flashlight cross. Do you still remember those days? You wear your flash like an emblem. Because I got a flash, you got to see it. You know how much flash drive is? First day I saw a flash drive, my friend brought it out and showed it to me that I'm one of the few people that's going to see it. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not joking, you know. So he said, I want to show you something. He brought it out from under the, you know. I said, what is that? He plugged it to the computer. That is called a flash drive. Eh? What does it do? So, sometime later, I now bought my own. 15,000 naira. 512 megabytes. If I'm mistaken, that means I bought two for 15,000. But I know I paid them downstairs here. 15K. Because I remember that day I bought two. So I don't know whether I give them 30K or 15,000 for two. But I bought two that day. Downstairs. Black thing like this. 512 megabytes. But now. Somebody say, but now. But now. that one, there was no micro SD. Now, one tiny micro SD card. When I bought my phone, I bought a 32 gig card and pushed it into the Samsung, thereby increasing the memory to almost 50 gig. So I carried the whole of the reports and dropped there. Bible, put. They never even fool. The only thing that can fill that in is plenty of videos. And I don't use many videos. It's called a Roman road. What I'm trying to say, life is so easy now to be a good Christian. Why? Because the most important thing to be a Christian is to have the word being fed into you constantly. When you see a whole society that the prime minister travels with his husband, just nobody's reading Bible again in the place. The prime minister travels with his husband. They're not reading the scriptures again. The word of God is not flowing into them. Life has been sapped. The whole society is dying. What am I going to say? So when we find things not working the way they are supposed to work for us, it is that the word that brought us to life. I was giving that marriage as an example. When marriage begins to die, you know, what happens is that people now start trying to sustain it with a lot of psychology. What happened? He's always telling me that I don't know how to handle money. Why are you telling your wife that she does not know how to handle money? Does she know how to handle money? No, you don't have to tell her. So what's her love language? What do you mean? She speaks Isha and TV. Love language? No, that one is French. When I want to speak, tell her, I love her. I say, me amor, Abi. What is it? No, the man said, no, that's not what I mean by love language. What I mean is that, how do you communicate you love her? You know, we sit down there, we start learning all kinds of methods. They come for counseling again and again. God just shakes his head. See, look at these foolish people. What began marriage? It was because I said, it is not good that this man is alone. So if it's dying, it is because they've cut off from the word that existed, that brought them into existence. It's not because of this technology, it's not this method, this psychology. No. Who said what to whom and what, on what occasion? And you see you and your wife always arguing, why shouldn't I say that? Shouldn't I say, listen, two of you are not reading your Bible. You are not praying. You are praying, no? What I mean by you are praying? You are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we will buy a car. Father, in the name of Jesus, we will increase the size of our house. Jesus, that's not, you know, you are not praying real prayer. You are praying gentilic prayers. You know what they call gentilic prayers? Gentiles. Anytime they show up for prayer, they say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? God, the food yesterday was not enough. You gave us bread, you did not put egg. We came today to ask for the egg. Like the people of Israel in the wilderness. So that's kind of, but I'm talking about real prayer. That is, you take the word, just read the word. Why? That's your life. Just take scripture. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. That's the word. That's the word. You're describing the word. You're just reading the word. You're not asking for anything. I can't imagine Jesus stood up all night asking God, what will you do for me tomorrow? No. Prayer is we are taking life and we are connecting with life that began us in the first place. If you're always falling sick, today you are tired, and then you know you just start getting injured anyhow. I mean, you're not the only one in society, but now you go fall into a gutter. You're entering your house, you hit your own elbow against your own door. Your own house. As an adult, you fall, come off of bed. You know that kind of thing. Next thing they see, your head is swollen. You're walking on the road, somebody mistakenly puts a finger in your eye. Next time you're wearing dark bones, only you. Let's not talk about malaria. They've treated malaria now with 7 different drugs. It has not gone away. They now say it's not malaria, it's typhoid. And like some labs will lie to you that they saw small typhoid. You know, have you heard that joke before? I hope you know it's a medical lie. There's nothing like that. That thing does not exist. It's how laboratories deceive people to collect their money. So the test has small. Now, I'm not saying that as a pastor. I'm telling that as a pathologist. You understand my point? It's a lie. It's like telling somebody that you think you have small meningitis. Does it make any sense? No, that's like they just say, they've seen the result, but there's small typhoid in it, so they give you small antibiotics. That is medical foolishness. Doesn't exist. Now, that's not part of the message. I'm just trying to educate you. It does not exist. Anyway, back to the man who's falling sick. He don't fall down for bed. He don't jam something, elbow in his own house. Okada keke is passing. He jam you. In 1 month, you have had like 15 accidents and mistakes and malaria, and they've been treating your small typhoid. My brother, my sister, if I were you, I would go and fast. I'm talking about real fasting, not hungry fasting. No, don't worry. No enemies after you. That's the lie they tell you in some churches. There's nothing like that. What did I say? No, I didn't hear you well enough. There's nothing like that. Who is doing this to me? It's a lie. Nobody's doing anything to you. What is happening is that dying, you are dying. Are you getting my point? And what is the reason for the death? Disconnection. That's all. What I'm talking about fasting is go and reconnect. The reason that God is letting you know that too many activities every day is distracting you from God's word. If you check it a month before these problems began, you've been waking up at 4 o'clock, getting out of the house by 5, and you spend that 1 hour dressing up, quickly ironing before EDC goes off. And you leave in the morning, boom, you don't come back till 10:30. By that time, you know the kind of tiredness that you don't remove your shoes. You enter the house, say, let me just relax more. By the time you wake up, it's 4 again. Like one of my friends does this. His own is so bad that many times we'll have to open his door to put off the stove from catching fire in the whole house. You're in your own apartment next door. You are smelling something like bingo, you know? This is again and again and again. He's burning the house down. Oh, just go there. Just put off the fire. The whole place has turned to charcoal. You won't say anything. You lock the door again and go back to your apartment. You wake up in the morning and see that the food he was cooking. It's burnt and he doesn't know how the fire went off. Let me not tell you about the ones in which he said, let him eat some bread. Meanwhile, you put the bread in the mouth, chew it twice, and sleep off. I am not joking. You'll have to wake him, so boy, spit that bread out of your mouth. You do that for 1 month. Of course, nothing like, you know, you only pray the prayers of habit. Father, the demon of Jesus will come into your hands. I'm going to bother. Listen, that's why you have been having accidents. That's why somebody has mistakenly put finger in your eye. That's why you fell from the bed. That's why your elbow injured. All of this, God tapping you. It's angels that are tapping you. See, this guy, you are dying, you don't realize it. You are disintegrating, you don't realize it. You are falling apart, you don't realize it. Why? Because the word that created you, you have not connected with it in a while. So when I say go on a fast, that's what I mean. I don't mean go and fast and find out who are the people attacking you. You know, this devil, I told it again and again, he doesn't do anything to Christians, though. You know why? He can't.